Last night, we reported on the troubling rise in suicide deaths among young Black Americans. Tonight, we explore one of the drivers of that crisis, a shortage of mental health providers. Special correspondent Fred DeSam-Lazaro has this report from Chicago, part of our Race Matters coverage. And a warning, this story discusses topics of suicide that some may find disturbing.
Feeling like you're not the regular type of person, it could shift your mind into really dark places. And I was, what, 9, 10, just like, I don't even want to be here anymore because I just didn't.
You thought about ending your life?
Yes.
When Noah Boynton was growing up on Chicago's South Side, he had trouble brushing off the teasing he faced at school. He had a condition that affected how he ran and the appearance of his leg.
That first semester.
Sharon Morgan, Boynton's single mother and a teacher herself, initially thought the taunts were mostly harmless. But later, she received a call from the mother of her son's best friend.
He went home and was like, "Ma, Noah's having these thoughts." And I just remember the night me and my mom were sitting crying together because it was time that I actually told her how I was feeling. I didn't want to be gone, but I just couldn't take it anymore. And it gets to that point.
He started therapy, but in 2022, Boynton's grandfather, Morgan's dad, died at the age of 87.
He was so good with my son. It was the things. He gave the things that I couldn't.
A lot of people don't grow up with that father figure in their life to show them just how to become a man. He was that guy for me in the end. Losing him was, in a sense, we both lost a father in that way.
Morgan started to see more troubling signs in her son, including increased isolation. She decided to seek help specifically from a Black male therapist.
Black men handle emotions differently. And I wanted someone who could understand how Noah was feeling and help him navigate through that.
A kid or a client, right? They don't care what you know until they know that you care.
They found Dwayne Smith, a licensed counselor. When he first met Noah Boynton, the two talked only about basketball before slowly getting into conversations about feeling and emotions.
He understands. He gets it. His story is similar to anyone I know. You know, it's just things like that make it easier to...
There are things you don't have to explain.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's a lot of things that you don't have to say. Because they already get it.
It's definitely a big, big deal. It does matter. I think it brings a level of comfort because one of the things that we all have in common, particularly of the African-American community, is, you know, we know some of the struggles. We know some of the biases. You know, we all have had these encounters, you know, being misunderstood, you know, being labeled.
Smith works in schools, runs a summer program, and provides therapy largely to clients who live on Chicago's South and West Sides, where many of the city's Black residents live.
It's a lot of work, there's a lot of need, and there's not enough people.
Experts say there is a lack of Black mental health professionals across the country, despite a growing demand for such services. In 2012, the city of Chicago closed half its public mental health clinics, mostly ones located on the South Side. By 2020, according to one analysis, the provider-to-population ratio in some areas was about a tenth of the national rate. Officials have announced plans to reopen at least one clinic and expand services elsewhere, but...
There's still a great deal of work to do in order to ensure that those who are in need and at risk are receiving the support that could ultimately save their life.
University of Chicago professor Janelle Goodwill has studied the rise in suicide deaths among the city's Black residents, including youth.
When I speak with families who have already lost their child or families who are currently living with the reality that their child is at risk for suicide, one of the main questions I'm asked is, how do I find a therapist? How do I find a clinician? How do I find a Black clinician in this area? And so I know that that's something that is really impacting so many families. And so there's a great need to ensure that there's enough providers available to service all those who are in need.
In 2020, licensed clinical social worker Kamisha Jones started Sista Afia Community Care. It provides free therapy specifically for Black women and girls, a population that's seen one of the biggest increases in suicide, both nationally and in Chicago. Jones, who's dealt with her own mental health issues, says her clients rarely face just one kind of stressor.
If a Black woman were to come to me and she's like, you know, I'm taking care of my children, I'm also taking care of my parents, and I just feel really stressed and stretched really thin because of all these things that I'm juggling, I would automatically get that. Everything that we've been through in this country and we're still here is powerful, but all the things that we're growing through to still exist in this society is really, really difficult.
That, Joan says, is partly why it's so important to get more Black providers into the field. One barrier is licensure requirements. A 2022 report found that 84% of white people who took the licensed clinical social worker exam passed on their first try. For Black applicants, that rate was just 45%, and only 57% of Black applicants ever passed the test. So last year, the Illinois legislature passed a law allowing an alternative for obtaining a license, completing an additional 3,000 hours of supervised practice.
With where things are at right now with mental health in our communities and in this country, the more that we can open it up for people who really want to do this work, I think is a huge asset.
The effects of the change won't be seen for a while, but there are already calls to expand alternatives to other mental health professions. On the South Side, Noah Boynton, who followed his late grandfather, an Olympic boxer, into the ring, believes therapy after his death prevented him from taking the same path as some of his peers.
At first, when he passed, it was like, nothing matters anymore. It's like, I don't know what to do. It's just, you feel lost a lot. And when you feel lost like that, a lot of times, demons find you. If I didn't get that help as fast as I did, I would have probably tried to jump in the streets or tried to be something that I'm not, because it helps you, it covers that up a little bit. It helps mask it.
Today, Noah Boynton is happy. He just graduated from high school and is enjoying summer. He's getting ready for his first year at Morehouse College in the fall. He wants to become an entrepreneur, maybe build his own clothing brand. But he says he continues to work on himself.
The mental health battle is not something that's going to end. It's just something that you have to continuously want to win. It's not going to ever really be over.
And as this crisis continues, he hopes sharing his story will encourage others to find the help they need. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSamlazaro in Chicago.
And Fred's reporting is a partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.